Well, we've had plenty of headlines about the surge in job openings in recent months, but if you're hoping that that'll mean pay rises all round, there's more evidence today that the opposite could be true. A report today actually has wage growth diving in coming years to well below the cost of living by 2022. Here's business reporter David Taylor.
Ordinary workers will be the last to feel the COVID economic recovery that we're told is well in train.
Because wages will be the last thing to recover.
That's Deloitte Access Economics partner Chris Richardson. In a new report, he forecasts wage growth to almost halve to 1.1% by 2022. Annual pay rises are currently sitting just below 2%. He says plenty of jobs are being created, but there's still too many Australians who are desperate for work, which creates slack in the labour market.
A bunch of things are going fine in Australia and around the world, but it will take time to repair bits of the economy, and that will tend to show up last in wages.
The government's own forecasts have wage growth falling to 1.25%. Treasury blames fewer end-of-financial-year wage reviews, delayed enterprise agreement increases, and the staggered implementation of award increases due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But the government's optimistic increases in your pay will return to more normal levels from 2023. And there's reason to be optimistic. Today, the National Skills Commission issued the preliminary March Skilled Internet Job Vacancies report showing ads surging by roughly 20%, or by over 38,000 available positions in the month. It's the biggest lift in 9 months. But Deputy Director of the think tank, the Australia Institute, Ebony Bennett, says tens of thousands of jobs may be opening up, but this jobs boom isn't going to shift the power from bosses to workers.
Look, I don't think there really is a silver bullet to increasing wage growth. We do need a range of things, but just waiting for labour markets to tighten and hoping that unemployment and underemployment will continue to fall won't really do the trick. Hope is not a strategy. We do need active measures for the federal government to do that will give workers the power to win higher wages. The government should certainly be backing a strong increase in the minimum wage. It should be using its IR reform bill to actually help workers collectively bargain for better wages and to improve the number of union agreements and enterprise agreements that are negotiated. But also the government has huge power over public sector wages growth. It could be increasing the wages of public servants right now, which would in turn have a good impact on private sector wages as well.
Is it possible, just to play devil's advocate, that we can't support a wage that's significantly higher than what we have right now?
No, that's not the case at all.
So why then? Why is there such an emphasis from bosses to make sure that they can sack someone in a second?
Well, the short of it is because it helps boost their profits. While businesses overall, and some of them in particular, are doing very well, that is not trickling down to workers at all.
So what about that then? A one-off pay boost to those on the minimum wage and public servants? Well, PM asked Treasury if that's something the government would consider. It didn't respond. But if Deloitte's economic outlook is anything to go by, there's little on the horizon to give workers' pay packets a boost. According to its economic forecasts, international travel, which helps boost the economy through migration and tourism, won't return to normal levels until 2024. In addition, partner Chris Richardson says quarantine for arrivals will likely remain in some form for years.
Other things equal, that means even as borders reopen, you're going to have things like the vaccine passports and some form of quarantine for a while, and people will be careful. That says, although we will gradually see more travel, it's going to be a long time before those numbers look like they used to.
Chris Richardson from Deloitte Access Economics. David Taylor with that report. Now, casual work, the gig economy as it's called, is a big reason economists say wage growth has remained stubbornly low. And a federal parliamentary committee on job security heard today in Sydney from a number of gig economy bosses, from Uber and Ola, for example, to get a sense of how they're treating their workers. David Taylor's been looking at that inquiry today too. Dave, the committee heard Uber Eats delivery riders in Sydney earn less than the casual minimum wage at peak mealtimes through the app. How did Uber respond to that?
Well, Linda, as we know, the minimum casual wage for Australian workers is above $24. Uber Eats conceded its riders earn $21.55 through the app in Sydney during peak meal times. In fact, the committee heard that the hourly average rate can go as low as $8 and $12 an hour. Uber says, believe it or not, Linda, workers want the flexibility that leads to this sort of pay. Here's Uber General Manager Matthew Denman.
If you move to a traditional employment model, whereby we were required to pay for wait time included, then necessarily it would mean that drivers and delivery partners would need to be forced to use a single platform and work set shifts with set hours in set places in order to guarantee that rate. And as we've said in the submission, the overwhelming majority, 80% of them, in the latest report from Accenture, say that if they were forced to work set shifts, then they wouldn't want to access the earning opportunity that a platform like Uber provides.
Uber General Manager Matthew Denman there at the Parliamentary Committee. Dave, did Uber give any indication it would give its workers better pay and working conditions in the future?
Well, Linda, Uber says it's open to discussion on establishing a minimum rate paid to drivers and delivery riders, but only for the time that they're actually engaged in a delivery fare. And here's where it really, the rubber hits the road, excuse the pun. But this is a different system to what we're used to in terms of IR. So for the gig economy to offer and Uber to offer better pay and working conditions, they essentially need to change their business model. They haven't indicated they're willing to do that.
Yep, this is the core thing, isn't it? Thanks very much, David Taylor, our business reporter.